Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to European American News on RevolutionRadio.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
I've been told that black women aren't supposed to support the Second Amendment. I've been told I should have won.
Here's a message to every rapist, domestic abuser, violent criminal thug, and every other monster who preys upon women. Maybe you've heard the stories about millions of us flocking to gun stores and gun ranges for the first time, the second time, and the hundredth time. Here's what that means for despicable cowards like you. Your life expectancy just got shorter. Because there's a very good chance your next target will be armed, trained, and ready to exercise her right to choose her life over yours. This is what real empowerment looks like. Millions of American moms, grandmothers, and professional women taking our lives and our families' lives into our own capable hands. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
The only untold story of World War II you will ever need to know.
You have done a magnificent job. The visual impact that people will experience when they see what you have produced, you've been very impartial in your presentation, and you have allowed the people, the viewers, to make up their own mind. You present the evidence and... Anyway, it's an honor to have you on the program.
To find out more on this phenomenal documentary series, go to thegreateststorynevertold.tv. You're listening to European American News with Gunnar Troy. ResolutionRDO.com.
Deep in the heart of Texas, back in 1835, they drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a cannon that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Ana sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what those colonists said?
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you, you'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it,
one shot at a time. Well, that started a revolution that no one could put down like a wildfire for freedom. It's burning even now. You see, even if you got an army, when all is said and done, you just don't mess with Texas, especially when it comes to guns. The Mexicans went home without that cannon.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we warn you, you'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Now I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Good evening, Patriots, and welcome to another edition of European American News. I'm your host, Gunnar Troy, and this is the show that blitzkriegs through the communist lies while covering the nationalist surge across Europa and America. Again, I'm your host, Gunnar Troy, and you are listening to Resolution Radio on resolutionaudio.com. The title of tonight's show, Mass Shootings Equal Communist Gun Grabs. We opened the show with a little Steve Voss with Come and Take It. I thought very, very fitting to start off tonight's show with that song right there, and he's absolutely right. Come and take them if you think you can, but you're going to have to pry them from our cold, dead hands. So absolutely, brothers and sisters, that's what we will be talking about. The majority of the show tonight are the recent mass shootings and the fact that the liberals / communists, whatever you want to call them, whatever they want to call themselves, they are going to use this as an attempt to take our guns away from us. And like that song said, again, they're going to have to pry them from our cold, dead hands because we are not going to give up our Second Amendment rights without a fight. So I will be joined here in just a few minutes by Brian Culpepper. Before we get into tonight's show, just make sure that you are checking out all the other shows right here on resolutionrdo.com, now bringing you program 7 nights a week. That's right, brothers and sisters, a full week of food and knowledge for you, starting on Monday nights with American Dissident Voices. Tuesday nights, we have Solar Storm. On Wednesdays, the newest show added, Truth Hurts. On Thursdays, the Sonny Thomas Show. Fridays, we have the Political Cesspool. On Saturdays, the Nordic Frontier, our brothers out of Sweden. And of course, on Sundays, European American News. If you'd like to be a guest on tonight's show, or you'd just like to call in and give your thoughts on what we're covering, please, by all means, do so. You can reach us at 607-203-5423. Again, 607-203-5423. Now, again, these shows, my show is live. So when I give out this telephone number, we're on live right now. So, I mean, you can call that number. Once you get into the show, just press the number one button. That lets me know that you have something to say, and we will do our best to get you on the show with us tonight. If you have the means, please donate to Resolution Radio by sending checks, money orders, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. Again, attention Sonny Thomas, P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. Again, all the money you send in will go right back into the network. Sonny is not pocketing a dime of this money for himself. All the hosts on these shows, we do this out of love for our people, our countries, and our rights and freedoms. And, you know, we're not earning a salary from any of this. So, again, anything you send in to Sonny will go right back into the network to pay for advertising, look for new talent, so on and so forth. So, again, if you have the means, please donate to the cause and keep these shows on the air. Just a quick reminder, you can still get your ResolutionRDO.com t-shirt. Nothing counts more than blood. Make sure you check out the website. Make sure you get your hands on this shirt. I believe they are $25 plus $5 for shipping and handling, so it's a great deal. I have one of these myself, wear it proudly all the time, have given them out as gifts. Everyone I've given to has been very, very grateful to receive the shirt, and they wear theirs as well. A shout-out to our listeners by country tonight, the top five countries. Pretty much the same as they have been for about the last month. USA, about 56% of our listenerships come here out of the United States. The United Kingdom is at about 8.5%. Canada sneaking up on second place, though, very, very quickly, is there at about 8.4% of our listenership. So they are right there behind the United Kingdom as far as second and third. Then you have Sweden. 5% of our listeners come out of Sweden, and Australia in the last month, basically coming out of nowhere as far as our listenership goes, as they are now almost at a full 4% of our listeners are now coming out of Australia. And I'd like to think that that has something to do with all the coverage we've been giving those brothers and sisters down there as they fight these mandatory vaccinations, mandatory curfews, and mandatory shutdowns there in the country of Australia, our brothers and sisters from the land down under. Thank you for tuning in, and we, again, are fighting with you in spirit and praying for your success down there in Australia. So we are going to go ahead and jump into tonight's show. We've got a couple different mass shootings that we're going to talk about tonight, and we can see through basically every story that has come out as far as the gun legislation that the Biden administration is trying to basically reap down on us. I mean, they are trying to snatch our guns away from us, end our Second Amendment rights, and we would know that what that would do to us as a people, it leaves us vulnerable and defenseless, which is exactly what the communists want for us in this country, because an armed people is a lot harder to conquer than sheep who do not have the means to defend themselves. So before we get into the stories, I am going to welcome Brian into the program. Good evening, brother, and welcome to the show again.
Good evening, and thank you for having me once again on European American News. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. What did you think of that opening song tonight?
I absolutely love it. Come and take it.
That's right. So I got another one. I got another good pro-gun song queued up for the mid-show break. So we'll get to hear another one tonight. But I thought it very, very fitting to have a couple pro-Second Amendment songs on tonight. And Brian, like I said, we've seen that these mass shootings, brother, is it just me, or does this seem to only happen during the last definitely two now communist liberal administrations, where you start to see all these mass shootings go on under Democratic presidents? I can't remember too many of these under Trump. Am I the only one seeing this, or are you seeing this as well?
Well, it certainly is a curious situation that we have here, when these mass shootings certainly do seem to break out under, Democratic, Marxist administrations. I'm trying very hard to think about any mass shootings that occurred during the previous administration under Donald Trump. But, regardless of that and the timing on it, these mass shootings only underscore the situation that we're faced with today in Weimar America, and that's a fact that we have a people problem. It's not a gun problem. It's a problem
yes.
with society. Our society is sick. And this is the inevitable result of that. And, you know, taking guns away from innocent law-abiding people is certainly not the answer to solving the crime issues. You know, while certainly the gun grabbers on the left and on the right, let's face it, we got them on both sides of the aisle. I'm not going to point the finger at, you know, the Democrats specifically, because you've got your Republican gun grabbers as well. You know, rather I'm choosing to blame, you know, both parties. And, you know, I have absolutely no respect for anyone that would even dare to consider trying to take away our most basic God-given rights, given rights given to us by the All-Father himself, and that's the right to defend our own person, our family, and our property. You know, and this was, you know, the major consideration of the Second Amendment being in that Constitution to begin with.
Absolutely. So let's take a look at these two incidents that have happened basically now a little over a week ago, with the one and the one happening earlier, I guess it would be last week if you consider Sunday to be the start of the new week. So earlier last week, and then a little over a week ago with the first one. The first one, Brian, we have what appears to be a white individual. Not sure if he could be Jewish. Unfortunately, a lot of them are lighter complected. But when you look at the narrative that the mainstream media gives, before any facts are known, we can see that this was automatically racially motivated because they had what they considered to be a white shooter perpetrating these crimes. So right away, we get this is racially motivated. He did this because these were Asian people, despite the fact that moments after his arrest, it was brought to light that this was basically due because this guy had what I'll call just a mental illness. I mean, you can call sex addiction whatever you want, okay? This, to me, is a mental illness, and it's a get-out-of-jail-free card for a lot of celebrities. We will see people in the sports world. They will use this constantly as a way to justify what they do in their personal private lives. And unfortunately, you know, when you have that much light shed on you, just about everything in your life, nothing's a secret. We've seen this. I mean, the biggest, you know, instance of this would be Tiger Woods here a few years ago, where, you know, he got into that altercation with his now ex-wife, and it was deemed that he had a sex addiction, which is why he was out doing this. So it came to light finally, or just, I guess, moments after this guy was arrested, that this is why he did this. It had nothing to do with a racially motivated attack. Nothing at all. Yet, Brian, we hear the mainstream media again and again and again say that this was definitely racially motivated crime, and that this white people was mad at Asians, and then they also try to blame Trump. So let's just take that point right there, Brian, about this being a racially motivated crime. From all the facts that have come out about this story, the mainstream media, as they usually do, jump to conclusions here.
Well, I mean, even more so than jumping to conclusions, you know, the mass media, CNN in particular, is actively engaged in fomenting anti-white sentiment all across America, which, you know, we'll lead into that here and delve a little deeper into that, I should say, you know, here in another story, because there are a number of interesting subplots connected to each of these major headlines. But certainly the mainstream media was quick to jump on a white person. Again, I'm not absolutely sure that we're not dealing with, you know, an ethnic Jew here, but even the shooters come out and said it wasn't a racial thing. It was really more directed toward the people involved in the sex workers trade, which, again, we have to question, why does that even exist in our nation to begin with? Why is that even an issue? That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother segment right there. But certainly the mainstream media is going to use every single opportunity at their disposal to continue, you know, spreading and disseminating Anglophobia, you know, fear and hatred of whites and white males in particular.
Yes, absolutely. So, which brings us to the second story, who, right out of the gate, Brian, again, mainstream media outlets reporting that this was a white shooter in Colorado before any of the facts, any of the pictures, any of the names are released. Again, in Colorado, we have a white shooter shooting up a mall. Eight people left dead, all of which, I might add, were white. All the victims in Colorado were white victims as far as I have been able to dig and find out. All of these victims were white people. Again, though, very quick to jump the gun and spread that narrative that they like to spread, that, again, all white men are evil and the only way to stop us is to eradicate us off the face of the earth, which is their end game here. And we can see that from these stories. Brian, when it finally came out who this shooter was, this Issa Al-Wariri or whatever his name was, I can't even pronounce these Muslim names. They're so ridiculous. Not a peep, Brian. Not a peep about this perhaps being a racially motivated crime after the fact comes out of who actually did the shooting, and it was all white victims. So, again, we can see what their narrative and what their agenda is going to be after each one of these incidents. And, again, always jumping the gun or at least promoting or putting forth their narrative or their spin on these stories. Brian, this one, I would say, was obviously more racially motivated than the first one. Would you agree with that?
Oh, this was absolutely an anti-white a hate crime perpetrated against the white race. The death toll is 10 dead. They were white, including one policeman that was killed in exchange of gunfire during that incident. And this is, you know, another example of, again, the mainstream media's bias in reporting on these crimes. Remember, they tried immediately out of the gate in the Trayvon Martin incident. I mean, this has been going on for years now, the Trayvon Martin incident down in Florida, where the mainstream media, with CNN trumpeting the charge there, immediately saying, you know, unarmed black teenager killed by a white man. Well, we find out that the shooter in that case, George Zimmerman, you know, he wasn't white. His father was a Jew and his mother was a Peruvian or Ecuadorian Indian. So this, you know, George Zimmerman is in no way, shape, or form a white man. But again, they're so quick and to try to blame the white man and continue fostering anti-white hatred and sentiment they're really going to reach out now, and they've taken it to ridiculous lengths to do so. In the case of George Zimmerman, they brought up when they realized a mistake, they started getting called out for it. They began labeling him. They made up an entire new category for George Zimmerman, by calling him a white Hispanic in order to tie in the buzzword, the key word there, white, white male, in order to continue with the narrative of spreading anti-white sentiment across America, which again is simple, you know, divide and conquer tactics that are being disseminated by the largely Jewish-controlled media, you know, here in America today. But in this instance, in the Boulder shooting, and this is one of the subplots that I wanted to talk about on the show with our listeners this evening. And by the way, we thank you all for tuning in and supporting not only European American News, but all the Resolution RDO programming. Thrilled now that we are on the air 7 nights a week. This is great news. You know, it's alternative outlets like Resolution RDO is really the only place that you can get unfiltered and unbiased news and commentary anymore. Because, again, with, you know, the complete and utter control of the mainstream media in America today by the leftist interests, you're just not going to get news that's not filtered and spun on the left. But anyway, back to the Boulder incident, when they started getting called out by the fact that the shooter in this case was a Muslim, a Syrian immigrant, a Muslim, CNN took it one step further. They took it to the made the ridiculous connection that the shooter may be an Arab. He may be an ethnic Arab, but they have now declared him to be, this is even worse, morally, he's white. Yes, people, you heard me correctly. This mass murderer is now morally white, which is to say, implant the seeds in everyone's mind that whites are evil. Whites are, this is, being a mass murderer is the equivalent of morally being a white person. This is the level of hatred that they have for us. And everyone needs to understand this and where the inevitable conclusion, if you follow that train of thought to its inevitable conclusion, where this is leading us in America today. And every white around the globe should be extremely alarmed by this and extremely angered and offended as well. And remember, this is put forward by the disciples of tolerance and diversity, people who don't believe in judging people as a group based on their skin color. Remember this.
Yeah. Well, we can see that that is only true when you're not talking about the white race. We can be judged based on the color of our skin. However, if you turn that around and judge anybody else, if you come out and say that the majority of these so-called mass shootings, where I believe in order for it to be a mass shooting, Brian, four people have to be killed or injured for it to be considered a mass shooting, that if you look at the stories, that a lot of them don't even get coverage. Most of them, I would say, do not get coverage because right away they do not fit that narrative. They do not fit the evil white man agenda that they are pushing. That the majority of these type of shootings are caused by African Americans in this country, not the other way around. They're not being perpetrated by white individuals, but you do not hear news of the majority of these stories because, again, they do not fit that narrative. So morally white, that is very interesting. I'd like to know how an Arab, Muslim, whatever you want to call this guy, becomes morally white in anyone's eyes. But you explained it very well of how that can happen when you have the Jews who are behind the media and, you know, their thoughts on us and what they'd like to do to us is diversify all of our countries and eventually get rid of all of us. So, again, just it's total BS is what we're dealing with here. And we're dealing with a very sick and twisted bunch of people who report on this stuff, and they only report it one way. And if they can't report it that way, like Brian just said, they will spin it so that somehow they can report it the way that they want to, despite the fact that all the facts surrounding these stories point to just the opposite. So I believe, Brian, they went back and found several of his social media posts. This does not sound like a person who was morally white or a Arab white supremacist. In my view, in any way, shape, or form, we don't go out and shoot up our own. I mean, you know, if this was a white supremacist or someone who was morally white out on a shooting spree, he did not hit his target. And we see this with a lot of these stories. The crime and the facts surrounding it never fit what the media is telling us, ever. So what does this all lead to? Well, folks, there was a story published by Newsmax this week titled "Biden Planning Executive Action to Beef Up Gun Control Measures," and this is from the White House. They have confirmed that President Joe Biden intends to push ahead with plans to increase gun control laws via executive order. The news comes in the wake of two mass shootings earlier this month, one in Atlanta, which we mentioned, the other in Boulder, which we also mentioned, where a total of 18 people were killed. The violent episodes have renewed the debate over gun control, and I don't know if this debate can ever really be renewed. It is always there. It is always, always there. It's debate of gun control, with Congress continuing to appear too sharply divided on the issue to make passage of legislation appear very likely. So in other words, Brian, because Biden doesn't think or doesn't believe or knows for a fact that he won't get the votes to do this, he is willing to start the executive order process, which we saw Obama do as well during his administration. This is all, again, just a way to grab our guns. So my next question to you, Brian, do you believe a lot of this are staged events, that the FBI or even the CIA, they know that these types of events are going to happen? We can see that they knew with the second shooting in Boulder that this guy was already on their radar, and they knew that he had bought a gun 6 days earlier, yet they did nothing to prevent this. In fact, I am saying they allowed this to happen. They knew exactly what this fool was going to do. They allowed this to happen in order for them to be able to either pass legislation or for Biden to be justified in issuing now executive orders to take our guns away. Your thoughts on that, that the FBI and other government officials and departments are allowing this type of stuff to happen, regardless of the fact that they, I believe, know about it?
Yeah, I personally am inclined to believe that they're taking advantage of crises as they occur. And, you know, again, you got to look at the bigger picture of cause and effect and the effects of psychological warfare and how psyops affect the mentalities of a population. And this is what we're seeing now, is the inevitable result of what was allowed to go on. I'm going to point the finger right squarely at the Trump administration. You know, basically they've let the monkeys out of the zoo. And they've been allowing them to run amok and randomly attack white people. This is nothing new. This has been going on for 6 years now. This started in 2015 when Trump was running for president. The Antifa and these violent black radical groups have been randomly attacking whites for the last 6 years now. And basically nothing has been done to them. They're not suffering any consequences whatsoever. And that's what's causing the levels of violence now to escalate. Now you have a Democratic administration in place that, and that is going to partner with the mainstream media and probably issuing directives. Probably our military is issuing directives from the very highest level to continue fomenting anti-white hatred in America. Now, where they are trying to provoke situations to give them the legal excuse that they want to move in and begin the confiscation process. And the only thing I can say to them is, you know, I would be very careful with this if I were them. We are a very different creature, this nation is, socially and politically, and we are by far have the most heavily armed and well-trained civilian population of any nation on the planet, hands down. And there are a variety of tactics that the people can use against the system should they become more aggressive in their efforts to disarm us and go ahead and institute a police state. One of my favorite statistics, in fact, I pulled up, stepping back just a moment, I've got the 2019 FBI statistics in front of me on interracial homicide. I'm looking at it right now. Blacks kill whites 57.3% of the time in America, and we're only 13% of the population. On the other hand, whites kill blacks 24.9% of the interracial homicides, 24.9, so 25% versus 57% for blacks. And we're approximately 65% of the population. So even though we outnumber them 4-1, they still kill it all more than twice the per capita rate. And so, you know, clearly here the statistics don't match the hysteria. And this is nothing new. This is isn't a recent phenomena or an anomaly on the statistical grid by any means. I mean, this is a trend that's been in place for decades. So this is nothing new. The FBI is well aware of this, and yet they continue to aggressively hunt down and prosecute these scary white nationalists that are out there, these evil white men, these evil white supremacists that are out there that pose such a danger to America today, people. Once again, the statistics clearly do not support the hysteria.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because what we see right now is we have the leftists who are always follow the science. We need to follow the science. We've been hearing that all freaking this past summer and going into last year concerning the coronavirus BS that they've been shoving down our throats, that we need to follow the science, that we need to – Brian, they only seem to want to follow the science or the statistics, which basically go hand in hand with each other. They only seem to want to cover those when it fits their narrative. Again, brother, we see that this, like you said, this has been going on for quite some time. You know, those FBI numbers that you just gave from 19, I'm willing to bet my entire worldly possessions, everything I have in this world, I'd be willing to bet that if you go back and look at 18, 17, 16, 15, and on back, that the numbers are relatively the same for these types of crimes, these black on white, they're killing us crimes compared to the amount of us that actually will go out and kill one of them. Again, we have a group, follow the science, look at the statistics, yet they only seem to want to do that when it's beneficial to their narrative. Any other time, they are willing to ignore this. And these are the FBI's number themselves. So this is something you have also, like you said, the FBI continually pushes this narrative themselves, going after so-called dangerous whitey and trying to take their guns away when they know themselves from their own study and their own numbers that the narrative that they're pushing is completely false. And if anything, they should be looking the other way. They should be looking the other direction for cause of most of this violence. And they cannot put the blame on us from their own statistics. And brothers and sisters, that's what's so scary about all of this. Not just the fact that they're trying to take our guns and that they think that they're going to accomplish this feat and that we're going to give them up easily, but that by their own numbers, it does not support the narrative they're pushing. So, again, we see that they've been doing this to us for a long time. They're going to continue to do it until, like I've said on previous shows here and like was said in the opening song tonight, we draw that line in the sand. The line has to be drawn, and we cannot allow them to cross it anymore without fighting back. So, again, FBI's own numbers, they don't fit the narrative, but not a peep about this stuff on the mainstream media outlets. Now, I want to go back to the first incident in Atlanta just for a moment. Because, Brian, what we saw is a result of that particular shooting. We saw two new bills pass through Congress, making their way through Senate. I haven't checked recently to see where these are. They might have even passed through the Senate, of these anti-discrimination against Asian laws. They had someone on Tucker Carlson, I believe it was last week, an Asian American who lives in Oakland or lives in California, and she brought up the fact that most of the crimes perpetrated against the Asian community in this country are not evil whitey, but in fact is the black community that perpetrates the crimes, murders Asians on a regular basis in areas like Oakland and other areas around the country. No one will report on this, but yet you have an Asian American who has firsthand knowledge of this situation and this information saying that the mainstream media has the narrative all wrong. It is not the evil white man who is persecuting Asians in this country, but in fact, it is the black community who is responsible for most of the crime perpetrated against Asian Americans. Have you seen that story as well, or have you heard anything along those same lines?
I'm not familiar with that one, that particular one.
Okay. So, like I said, you'd have to go back. I believe you can find that clip of her on the Tucker Carlson show on YouTube. I'm sure it may still be up there. But again, we can see that when someone they actually have on that knows and has information that shows just the opposite, there's not a peep. There is not a retraction of story from the mainstream media. And yet we see that as a result of this particular shooting, two new laws, anti-discrimination laws on behalf of the Asian people, have been passed through the House on their way through the Senate. Like I said, I have not checked to see if these made it through the Senate yet. There's just been so much news to sift through this week, so many different stories that, again, you know, their narrative never fits what is actually going on, but they twist and twist and twist until they make it fit. It's like trying to hammer that square into a round peg, Brian. It doesn't work. Now, I mean, you can bash the hell out of that square peg, and eventually you might get it to fit into that circle. But it's not without some difficulty, and it's not without, you know, pounding on it, twisting it, and that's exactly what we're seeing today. They are pounding this stuff and pounding it into us that we are evil and that, you know, without us, the world would be a lovely, peaceful place with rainbows and unicorns prancing around and gumdrop lanes and all this other BS if we were gone. But again, doesn't fit the actual stats and the actual facts of any of these cases. So again, we have these two bills. Again, hate crime laws is basically what they are. What do hate crime laws do? They affect white people. A black person goes out and shoots a white person, an Asian person, a Jewish person. These are never race-related crimes. Even if they have footage or social media posts of this person saying, I hate white people. I went out and killed these people because they were white. Those are never considered hate crime, Brian. The only time these are considered to be hate crimes is when it is a white shooter or a white person who has done the killing, and it's a person of another race that is the victim. Am I on the right track with that?
No, it's absolutely true. There's clearly a double standard in the application of hate crimes law statute here in America, and has been for decades, all of my life. I mean, this is nothing new. These hate crimes laws were put in place specifically to target white men, plain and simple. It's unconstitutional. It's been declared already, been to the Supreme Court and declared unconstitutional right along with affirmative action programs, and yet there's been no move to dismantle any of these programs. And as long as we have, you know, Marxists infecting the ranks of our Congress and our media, nothing's going to be done about it, because they will do everything they can to sweep it under the rug and keep the white majority in this nation blissfully ignorant of what's actually occurring here. That's their job. But there clearly is bias. I'm looking right at another article that was on Newsmax, posted on the 24th, March 24th, just a couple days ago, by Bridget Gabriel, who is an Arab woman, a former Muslim who left that particular religion. Conservative Arab woman, Bridget Gabriel, who states, if you're a white man in America today, the media will pronounce you guilty until proven innocent. And that's coming straight from the mouth of an Arab woman.
Yeah.
So that really is, yeah, you know, the situation that we're dealing with today here in America. And there was another one in here that I am looking for right now. Out of the Telegraph, out of the United Kingdom. Right-wing protests are more likely to be criticized because of liberal biases within the news. And so, I mean, there we have it again. This is coming right out of our mainstream media outlet, the Telegraph in the United Kingdom, who are themselves admitting that right-wing protests are more likely to be criticized due to liberal bias. Well, duh. Any of us that have taken our messages of white solidarity into the streets, you know, over the last few decades, that's a situation and a mindset that we're only too familiar with. And any veteran of the Charlottesville protest can certainly stand up and tell everyone in the world today that we are indeed criticized due to liberal biases within the news and the system. So, again, that's nothing new there. This is business as usual. The disgusting part about it is not that leftists are engaging in this behavior, because that's what they should be doing, standing up for their point of view. The disgusting part of it is that whites haven't risen up and put a stop to this shit yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree 100% on that, brother. Now, we look at the incident in Boulder and some of the other ones that have happened over the country within the last several years. Colorado already has some of the toughest gun laws in the country. And Brian, we continue to see this as well. These states that have these very, very tough gun laws, where it makes obtaining a gun for a law-abiding citizen very, very difficult to do. There's all kinds of hoops you have to jump through in order to get a firearm in some of these states, Brian. Criminals do not obviously obey the law. They are criminals. This does not stop people who have criminal intent from getting guns. We've seen this in several states. Chicago and Illinois has to be the one that sticks out the most. There are more shootings in Chicago in one weekend than happen around most of the country for the whole week. And yet they have some of the strictest gun laws in the entire country. Yet we see time and time again that the criminals, the people that should not be able to access weapons, and you would think that these laws would keep them from doing so, they have no problem obtaining weapons and going out and committing crimes with these weapons. So, Brian, do these laws work, in your opinion, from what you've seen?
Oh, and again, the statistics on that clearly prove quite the opposite from what the situation that those on the left that want to take our guns away are trying to lead America into believing, that by disarming ourselves that we would somehow, you know, create a safer society. That's simply not true. Again, the underlying situation that we're dealing with here is that America is in the West in general is becoming an increasingly unstable multicultural environment. When you import the third world, you become the third world. And there is a reason that we call it the third world. So this is a situation here, once again, that the statistics clearly do not support the hysteria. Again, as you pointed out correctly, the cities and municipalities with the toughest gun control laws in the nation suffer from the highest rates of homicide and violent robberies in the country, and the ones with the most liberal gun laws typically enjoy much lower rates of violent crime statistically. And this isn't a blip on the screen or an anomaly. This has been the case for decades. And again, the system's well aware. This is, again, more of their social conditioning, plain and simple. The truth of the matter is...
Oh, go ahead.
The truth of the matter is the Biden administration fears a strong, armed white population because their policies are anti-white, and they know they are going to meet resistance. This is why we still have barbed wire and chain-link fences around the White House and thousands of federal troops stationed around the White House. They know they're playing with fire. They know this, and they should be worried. America has a very clear, the American people have a very clear history of how we deal with tyranny, and they should do well to remember this.
Yes, absolutely. And let's also touch on the fact, Brian, that most of these so-called mass shootings, where do these shootings happen? They happen in gun-free zones where the shooter goes in knowing that he may be the only person within a 5 or 6 mile radius other than the police who has a gun. So the fact that they can go in and start shooting and have minutes, because we well know that when second counts, the police are minutes away. So they can go in, start shooting up these gun-free zones with really no fear that they'll be taken out by a gun-toting citizen, law-abiding citizen. Again, gun-free zones. There is a cop at my child's school. He is there all day. He's there all day. That's one of the only reasons I believe I even allow her to stay in the public schooling right now, is because I know that there is a cop there all the time who is armed. So any fool that would try to come up to the school, first he'd have to get through the locked doors because they don't just let anybody walk into the school. But if he were to go there, he'd be met with a cop who is toting, who's carrying a gun, and would be able to put him down very quickly before he could do any damage. So case after case after case, each one of these cases always involves what is considered to be a gun-free zone, because the criminal knows that he's very unlikely to be met with resistance when they go in there and they start shooting up a mall, a school, a concert, anything like this, because there is just not that fear for them that there's going to be someone there to stop them for minutes before the police arrive. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's a sad commentary on American society today that we even have to have armed police in our schools. It's even more sad, and I would even take it a step further and say sick, that there has to be manufacturers of bulletproof backpacks and bulletproof, you know, body armor for in children's sizes for our school children. You know, again, I'm a Gen X myself, borderline boomer, and I grew up in a different America. We used to have shotgun racks in the back of our pickup trucks, and I would carry my shotgun to school with me. I can't tell you how many days I've showed up for school with a shotgun, sometimes a couple of them, in the racks of my pickup truck, right along with half the other pickup trucks in the parking lot during deer season or during duck season growing up in Tidewater, Virginia. And I could get out, no one batted an eye. I could get out. I could go into class. I could leave my shotgun in the rack in plain view of everybody. And no one ever stole a firearm. We had not one single incident of a stolen firearm. Our teachers knew we had them. The principal, the vice principal, all knew we had firearms, and no one raised an eyebrow over it. So this is how much our society has changed in the space of one generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's scary stuff. And we go back to what we were talking about as far as, you know, these states and cities that have these very, very strict gun laws for the law-abiding citizens of those areas. You look at states like mine here in Kentucky, states like where Brian currently resides in Tennessee, I'd say West Virginia, and several other states, Texas has to be one of them, where the people are armed and criminals know that there's a good chance that because of the state that they're in and the gun laws that we have, that there's a good chance if they open fire that there'll be five or six people firing back at them within seconds of them brandishing their guns. I consider my state to be one, with the exception of Louisville, Kentucky, this is probably one of the safest states to live in. I'd say Bryan, Tennessee. Now, there are areas of each and every state that you have. I mean, I would say Memphis and Chattanooga are not very safe. I know Memphis is not a very safe city to be in Tennessee. But for the majority, most of these states are very safe to live in because the citizens are armed and the criminals know it. They know they don't have minutes until the police arrive to take them out. They might have seconds, just seconds, before a law-abiding gun toter is opening fire and putting an end to their day and to their life. So the more lax gun control states in Kentucky, I mean, we have not only do we have open carry here, we have concealed carry with no permit. You don't know what the person standing across the way from you might have on them. You are less likely to try to commit a crime against someone that you think could be packing. Have you seen this as well, Brian, that the states that have gun laws in place that protect the citizens' Second Amendment rights and give them more Second Amendment rights are some of the safest places to be?
Oh, absolutely. And again, statistics clearly bear this out. I mean, this is not an anomaly, a blip on the grid. This has been the case, you know, for, you know, my entire life. Armed societies are polite societies.
Yeah.
And you know, clearly, if you think you're going to encounter armed resistance, you're going to think twice about robbing someone or attempting to rape a woman or a child. The risk-reward factor clearly, you know, comes into play here. I mean, if you are willing to risk it, then you're either mentally unhinged or just a hardened criminal and don't care anyway, in which case I have no problem with an armed citizen, you know, dealing with that individual summarily, conducting
right.
justice, you know, right on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, what good is it for us, for these fools to rot in jail? I mean, it's just a waste of money when a citizen can just go ahead and take this fool out and all it costs was a bullet. You know, it's not costing $40,000, $50,000 a year now to house this criminal who the police take into custody, and unfortunately most of them are taken into custody alive. I don't know what the world's going on with some of these police officers. It used to be, you know, when an active shooter or something like that, you shoot to kill. It's almost like these cops now just shoot to maim. You know, they want to be able to arrest this person and put them in jail and charge them with this crime. That is just a waste of money. So I'm with you, Brian. It's far better for a law-abiding, gun-toting citizen to be Johnny on the spot and take one of these shooters out before they can cause too much damage while waiting for the police to arrive. So, brother, we are going to go ahead and get into our break. Do you have, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about a few other stories that have been hot topics around the country this week. Do you have anything in closing concerning these two mass shooting stories or the fact that basically, you know, the communists here, they're at it again, communists, Republicans, like you said, on board with this as well, trying to take our guns away from us. Any closing thoughts on this story?
Well, no, I think we've covered it pretty well on the stories that we've hit, you know, that are top of the news, so much more material to cover right now. Spring has sprung, and, you know, it's mating season for the baboons. So, you know, they're out in force, and when you let the monkeys out of the zoo, you're going to have a good time on the streets. And that's what we're witnessing here now. So, well, let's go in the break, and we'll come back and hit it again.
All right. Sounds good, brother. You're listening to European American News. I'm your host, Gunnar Troy, joined tonight by Brian, discussing the mass shootings and communist gun grabs. We're going to take a short break. I told you I'd have a little more music for you. I'll give you the name of the song and the artist once that's done playing. So listen to a couple advertisements, then we'll get to the music, and we'll be right back with you again. European American News.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survived. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machine. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. the human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
You are listening to European American News on Resolution Radio at resolutionrdo.com.
There are a few who move toward the sounds of chaos, ready to respond at a moment's notice. And when the time comes, they are the first to move toward the sounds of tyranny, injustice, and despair. They are forged in the crucible of training. They are the few, the proud, the Marines.
Holster around my waist and nothing felt so right than having that baby sitting on my side. Showed my buddy at the range, he said, man, she's sweet, what's her name? I fired around, I felt the kick, I was like a proud parent naming one of the kids. And while I thought of all the sacrifices made for the right to keep and bear my arms today, her name is Freedom, but she ain't free. This man who died for you and me to make this land the home of the brave. And we're never gonna let another take it away. My freedom is worth the fight. So don't be standing on the wrong side. And if you try to come and tread on me, I'm gonna let freedom ring. Living in a time today, politicians want to take our rights away. The Second Amendment is the law of the land. What part of shall not be infringed, don't they understand? Time to take a stand and be united again. No matter your religion or your color of skin. If it's we the people, let's be the we and demonstrate the rights that keep us free. Come on and think of all those sacrifices made for the right. Don't be standing on the
Welcome back to European American News. That was Ron Elm with Freedom. Yes, let her ring, brothers and sisters, because they are going to come and try to take our Second Amendment rights away from us. And at that point, like the first song tonight says, well, they can have them won when they pry them out of our cold, dead fingers. And if they're willing to cross that line and come take our guns, well, we'll give them to them one shot at a time. So, again, just another excellent pro-Second Amendment song there from Ron Elm, Freedom. So that was the discussion of the first half of tonight's show, was the two most recent mass shootings we've had under the Biden administration. I would expect there to be many more of these across the summer and heading into the end of his first year as president of the United States, that we will see, again, more and more of these so-called mass shootings and what the narrative will be as a result of these. And one is that is white people are evil. And two, it's just a way for them to try to take our guns and our Second Amendment rights away from us. So again, welcome back to European American News, the show that's covering the nationalist surge across Europa and America. And again, we blitzkrieg through the communist lies. I am your host, Gunnar Troy. I'm joined tonight by Brian. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick up a couple other stories that I saw were of interest. Now, the first story we're going to discuss, this is some scary stuff right here. The second story, as a result of the story that we're going to cover, is good news. Some states are getting it right, and some governors are saying no more. This is, Brian, we're going to talk about the racial theory being taught in school. So this story coming out of your original home state of Virginia, Loudoun County, not sure if you're aware of where that is, but teachers are compiling a list of parents who question racial curriculum, and they're plotting war against these parents, Brian. I mean, this is something that we are seeing go on across the country, the introduction of these racial theory teachings in our school, where basically white people are bad, everybody else is good. And if we had less white people, or white people acted less white, as Coca-Cola would like us to do, that things would be peaceful here. And again, we'd have the rainbows and unicorns and all that good stuff if we were all gone. Brian, is this a story that you've seen coming out of your home state of Virginia?
Yeah, this is one of them that I have been following. And Loudoun County is a suburb of D.C. That's Northern Virginia, up in the Blue Belt of Northern Virginia. You know, it's a cesspool of liberalism and multiculturalism, so it wouldn't surprise me in the least that this story would originate out of Loudoun County. You know, critical race theory is basically anti-white bias training, anti-white discrimination that's being taught and institutionalized and being taught to our children in schools and to our people in the workplace. And it certainly needs to be abolished. A number of states are taking active measures to put an end to this. But again, the fact that we're even having to deal with a segment of our population that even carries this mindset is indicative of, you know, a much deeper sickness that's infecting, you know, our nation today.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit of what this story says, I'll just read the first couple paragraphs. This is from The Pundit. A group of current and former teachers and others in Loudoun County, Virginia, compiled a lengthy list of parents suspected of disagreeing with school system actions, including its teaching of controversial racial concepts, with a stated purpose, in part, infiltrate, use hackers to silence parent communications, and expose these people publicly. Members of a 624-member private Facebook group called Anti-Racist Parents of Loudoun County named parents and plotted fundraising and other offline work. Some use pseudonyms, but the Daily Wire has identified them as a who's who of the affluent jurisdiction outside D.C., there it was, including school staff and, Brian, elected officials in the area. These sound like Antifa tactics to me, Brian, the doxing of parents who do not agree with this social communist racial theory BS that they're trying to pump into our kids. Is that what that sounds like to you? This is an Antifa tactic to dox and embarrass these parents publicly and basically make them and turn them into enemy number one.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. These are the tactics of the state security services under the former Soviet Union, the Cuban regimes, and any other number of oppressive type of leftist regimes and nations that, you know, we've watched, you know, the history of the world for the last 100 years, and we know where this ends. And I have no doubt that they're going to continue doing this. And my suggestion to the parents and the citizens of Loudoun County would be to mount a counteroffensive and be doxing these people in return and getting complete dossiers on who these individuals are, who their employers are, who their family and friends are, because eventually there's going to be a showdown, and these are all individuals that the nationalists are going to be very interested in interviewing them and members of their family and their friends and their employers that are spreading communist ideology across America. And it's going to be up to the nationalist forces to deal with these people at street level. Let's be very clear about this. If they want to engage in terrorist tactics, okay, but remember, terror can only be broken by a greater terror.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is definitely a scare tactic being used by the left against conservative parents who, again, do not agree with this race theory curriculum that a lot of schools across the country have now adopted and are teaching our kids. And I, you know, I straight out ask my school-age child almost on a daily basis, did the teacher say anything about white people being evil today? Because I want to know that the second that this bullcrap is being spouted in the school she attends, I will be at the school board meeting. If I have to stand by myself to speak out against this BS, I will do so. I am not afraid to be the first one through the wall. I know that scares a lot of people. Being the first one through the wall, you're usually one of the first casualties as you break through the wall. But this has to be done. We cannot allow these communists to scare us into hiding and being silent. Now is the time to band together, to unify, to approach the school board, go to the school board meetings, and speak up against this. And I've seen several clips, Brian, several clips of parents across the country actually showing up at these school board meetings and just going off. I mean, just absolutely going off on the school board. And the school board will try to shut them up and sit them down, and they just keep right on talking, and they're being applauded by the other parents sitting around them who may not be willing to stand up and be that first one through the wall, but they will certainly show you their support at these meetings. So, again, we cannot allow these scare tactics to work on us. We have to stand up. We have to make our voices heard, and we have to tell these teachers and these school boards, we're not going to allow this crap. We're not going to allow it. Brian, your thoughts on that, on, you know, not maybe being one of the first one through the wall, but when you see somebody stand up and go for it, you have to stand up with them. I mean, we are at that time.
Well, I mean, those that lead the charge are the only ones whose names are remembered 1,000 years after they're gone.
Yes.
You know, it's within our DNA. It's in our blood for us to stand up and claim our glory against those that would threaten everything that we love and that we hold dear and that we cherish. There's nothing more honorable them standing up on behalf of your people and the things that you hold dear. That is the highest honor that can be accorded to one of our people. We're Aryans. We are the sons and the daughters of Odin, and that is how we should conduct ourselves. It is part of our duty as men to embrace a cult of strength, embrace a cult of power, make sure that we are personally, physically and mentally and emotionally strong and sound so that we can uphold our duty to our families, our loved ones, and our race. And that is to stand up and provide for the common defense, not only of our own families, but of our people. That is our duty. That is our sacred duty to ensure a future for successive generations of our people. That is why our men are here, to provide and to protect our families and our people. This is the task that is given to us. It is our job to stand up and provide leadership. It is our task to raise strong sons that become strong men, moral men, and to provide a safe and healthy environment to raise our children in. So you are absolutely correct on this, sir. But again, it's amazing to me because 50 years ago when I was a child, if anyone had even dared to utter that communist nonsense in a school board meeting, the nearest man to them would have punched them right in the mouth right then. They would have shut it down. It wouldn't have been them turning the mics off on outraged parents. It would have been the commie that opened their mouth getting an ass whooping right then because we're just not going to tolerate it.
Right. Absolutely. And you seem to be on board with the, we're not going to tolerate this BS as Governor DeSantis in Florida, who earlier this week outlawed or basically banned critical race theory in Florida schools. He goes on to say, let me be clear, there is no room in our classroom for things like critical race theory. Teaching kids to hate their country and to hate each other is not worth one red cent of taxpayer money. So, brother, it's usually doom and gloom, unfortunately, on the show on this network, just because we see the pounding that we are taking right now from the left, from the communists, and even members of, if you consider yourself a conservative or Republican at this time, members of our own party, where they jump on board with all this BS. It is good to see that there is at least one governor in one state who is saying, no, we're not going to spend taxpayer money on this BS. So again, not always doom and gloom, but you have to stand up, and it looks like Governor DeSantis is at least willing to make a stand on this subject, and in a good way, brother.
Well,
your thoughts on that? Have you seen this story?
Yeah, congratulations to the governor down there, and I hope that he gets flooded with mail praising him for his wise decision. Bear in mind that positive reinforcement yields great benefits as well. And our politicians, our elected officials, and everyone in general responds very well to compliments, generally speaking. And they should not just be getting flooded with hate mail when they make the wrong decisions, but they should be, getting the praise of their constituents when they do the right things. The same with, our women. I also, often make this case. When you hear one of our strong and proud white women stand up and say, I'm only interested in relationships and dating, other white men, we need to let them know just how much we appreciate that, just how hot that is. On how much we appreciate that and not just bash the ones that, succumb to the leftist propaganda and make the wrong decisions. You really do, you know, people by and large respond very well to compliments and to positive reinforcement. It's that simple. So my congratulations to Governor DeSantis down there in Florida for doing the right thing.
Yeah,
while we're
absolutely
on the subject of academia, were you going to cover the story coming out of Oxford University? Is that in the queue for tonight?
If it relates to what we're talking about, go on ahead, because I have actually not seen this story. So please.
Okay. Well, so while we're on the subject of academia, there's a story coming out of Oxford University, and the staff are now stating that the focus on white European music causes students of color great distress. So now what they are claiming is that teaching classical music is complicity in white supremacy. This is coming right out of Oxford University,
yeah,
one of the most prestigious universities on the face of the planet, is now saying that the teaching of classical music is now complicity in white supremacy. Just when you thought it couldn't get any more bizarre, they're going to prove you wrong.
Yep, absolutely. And I did see that story. I didn't know that it was Oxford University that did that study. But, yes, I have seen that story. And I tell you the truth, I enjoy my classical music. And I've been – if I'm not listening to a talk radio station in the car on my way to work and back, I am now listening to classical music. So, I mean, you know, all they did was make it more enjoyable – for me to listen to classical music, knowing that it's just, it's part of my white privilege to do so. And I mean, you know, this type of stuff, Brian, not only the classical music, but they try to pinpoint so many things that we do as a race and things that we do well, and they spin them around as some kind of white privilege BS or a criteria that is going on that now makes you a white supremacist. I was talking to my boss at work the other day, and, you know, we've had a problem at my place of employment with, you know, people that come in to do this job that are just, they're lazy. They have absolutely no work ethic whatsoever, Brian. And I'm one of those people, when I go into a job, I do the job the best I can. I don't want there to be anything that I can't do. If you tell me to do something, you show me how to do it, I can do it. And I take great pride in being a perfectionist in the workplace. Well, we have seen studies come out here recently that says that type of perfectionism, that type of work ethic, that type of I want to be able to do the best job I possibly can, those now are also considered to be traits of white privilege and white supremacy. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it's like
there's,
I was having this conversation
with
my boss.
No lie detected there in that statement, brother. I mean, that's the honest truth.
Well, and honestly, you know, that is a trait of our people. You know, I'm sorry if the other races don't have that same work ethic. That's not my problem. That's your problem. And, a lot of the problem we have with the laziness at work and people not wanting to do the job or give their all or move very fast while they're being paid and on the clock, they seem to be the minorities that this company has hired in. So I've been having this talk with my boss, and I'm slowly bringing him along without just coming out and saying, you know, I'm a white nationalist and all of this. I'm very, very careful with how I word stuff. But I told him, I said, you know, it's a culture now. It really is, and it's frowned upon to want to do your best and to want to be the best at what you do. It is frowned upon to do that now. And I told him, I think, you know, a lot of this is so that the lazy people can't be called out for being lazy. You can't fire someone now because they're not doing a good job or they're not working fast enough, because now it gives them some kind of racial discrimination claim as far as, oh, man, the boss told me I wasn't working fast enough. He must be a racist. Well, that has nothing to do with it. If you're being paid to do a job, You should be there doing the job the best that you can to the best of your ability. And I'm sorry, if you're not trying to perfect your methods in the workplace and be a better employee, I wouldn't want you as my employee if I was the boss. You would be fired. Without a doubt, you'd be the first to go. And some of these guys, they don't fire them because they show up every night. Well, if you allowed me to just show up every night and get my paycheck for being lazy and not really doing anything, why wouldn't I come to work every day? So, you know, I'd almost rather have someone who misses a day or two a month because of family issues or something like that, but comes to work ready to work and does the job the best that they can do it over someone who's there every night but isn't doing anything. So, again, along with the classical music story you just brought up, that study out of Oxford, these other things, perfection in the workplace, trying to do your best, trying to be number one, these are all things that are now frowned upon by the left and by the Communist Party, and even people on the right go along with this, that these are now identifying factors of a white nationalist or someone who has white privilege or someone who's a white supremacist, is they want to do the job to the best of their ability and they want to be the best. That is crap. Our country was founded upon wanting to be the best, wanting to be number one. We didn't become the greatest nation in the world because we were happy being number two, Brian. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, in the continuation of that, Red, right now, you're absolutely right. You know, it's in our blood. It's in our programming. But the negative effects of the lack of genetic natural, the processes of natural selection that have been occurring in the West for centuries now, as well as the ongoing psychological warfare that's been being waged against us for the last century now, are taking their toll. And I'm going to stop turning my attention to the non-whites for a minute, and I'm going to go in-house for just a moment and talk about something that really torques me up. And that's the laziness and the indifference within the ranks of the white people today. I'm not going to go in there and point the finger at non-whites for being lazy and unmotivated when the ranks of the white race are infested today with people that exhibit the same negative traits. And some of the worst ones out there, one of the worst groups, I hate to say it, is among the ranks of the white nationalists. They need to get off their asses. They need to educate themselves. If they're not going to go to school and get an advanced degree and educate themselves formally, they need to get solid trade skills. And most of all, they need to break the mindset that the government, me, you, or anyone else owes them anything. If you don't get your ass up and go to work every day, then there's no need in sitting around and talking about how bad the economy is and how bad things are. And I call our own people and our own ranks out on this constantly. As vehemently opposed as I am to illegal immigration and third world immigration at all, we don't need them in this country. But until the white men get their act together and start, you know, getting educated and getting the discipline, the self-discipline, to, you know, not get drunk during the week to the point that they can't get up when the alarm goes off at 5 a.m. the next morning, where they get their asses out of bed to go provide for their families. I got no sympathy for them. None. Zero. And guess what? If you got a heavy load of responsibilities financially, if you can't make it on one job, you better be looking for that second one, or you better be looking at your spending habits and trying to determine why you're living outside of your means. That blatant consumerism is what drives the Zog's machine, and the only way that we're ever going to get loose and get out from under the boot of the Zionist occupation is by stopping the consumer mindset and becoming producers once again, which brings us right back full circle to it's a trademark of the Aryan race. Our productivity and our creativity are what sets us apart from the other groups. Look at the accomplishments of Western civilization. These truths are self-evident to me and those that understand what it means to be an Aryan.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. I agree with that 100%. And so circling back to the stories we just covered, here's another story, this one posted by Newsmax. A Rhode Island senator says that the new dress code is biased in the favor, in white people's favor. So here in Rhode Island, what we have is, his name is Acosta, last name Acosta, basically says that folks use expressions like professional, presentable, and appropriate. What they mean is white collar, white Western dress. Senator Jonathan Acosta, Democrat of the district, argued during a recent Rules Committee meeting about the changes. Full state Senate this week voted to approve the guidelines. So basically what he says is that, where was this? There was a paragraph that I wanted to read here. Okay. So he says, Acosta, who was once a teacher, said that he had chosen to adopt he calls it a costume in his first year of teaching. He said, I wore a shirt and tie every day, and I came to realize that what I was doing was reaffirming to all black and brown poor kids that I was teaching that in order to be successful, you had to try to look and approximate whiteness as much as possible. Brian, it doesn't even stop. It's in the way we present ourselves and the way we dress in the workplace. Trying to even look professional is now a trait of your whiteness. I mean, we see, brothers and sisters, there is no end to this BS. Everything we do acting more white.
I take that as a compliment. Yeah, I mean, presenting ourselves, making ourselves presentable and attractive, physically, dressing nicely. Yeah, I take that as a compliment. You're damn right. It's a symbol of my Aryanism. And I would hope and that more of our people would heed that and take it to heart, honestly, today. Personally, my thoughts on that are I think the generation of the 1930s and 1940s, my grandparents' generation, were some of the best dressed and most fit and polished of any generation. I remember.
Yeah, I agree.
The men in the three-piece suits and the ties with a hat on, the ladies in either dresses or in, you know, slacks and a blouse also often had a hat on. I remember my grandmama leaving the house with a hat on her head many days. And, you know, my grandmama on my mother's side of the family, and I had damn near 50 walking down the street would stop traffic. She looked good, and that generation looked good. And you're damn right it's an Aryan trait. So I'm proud of that. I'm glad to make that association.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that if you work in a warehouse, you should be showing up for your warehouse job, you know, where you're slinging packages all day or whatever in a suit and tie. No, you dress appropriately for the job that you're doing. But what we don't want, what I don't want to see is when I walk into a bank, I don't walk into banks, my bad. I don't walk into those places. But when I walk into an office setting, I don't want to see Shaniqua in her booty shorts and her tank top low cut and her hair all a mess. That is not, I'm sorry, that's not a professional look. You don't want to do business. When you walk, let's use the example of the bank, even though I just said I don't visit banks very often. But if I walked into a bank, how likely are you to want to do business with the teller who's in booty shorts and the low-cut top hanging out all over the place? No. No. You look for the person that looks like they belong there at the bank doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. All right? So basically what this is so that we can't shame other people who come to work sloppily dressed. I mean, just some of this stuff is just outrageous, the stuff that people will try to wear into the office. And I've worked in office settings most of my working life. Most of the 20-some-odd years that I've been in the workforce, I've noticed this continually, gradually get worse and worse and worse as far as what people will show up to the office in. And again, dress for the job. What's that saying, Brian? You dress for the job that you want. You know, I mean, yeah, you can look like a bum all day, but if you look like a bum all day, the chances that you're going to get one of these good jobs in the office that pays a lot of money, the chances are slim to none if you show up at your interview in booty shorts and a tank top. I mean, it's unbelievable that they would associate this with whiteness. But like you said, I will wear that as a badge of courage or a badge of honor in the fact that I know how to look presentable. So, I mean, it just goes to show that there's nothing that they won't attack at this point, brother.
Yeah, bear in mind that this goes in this aligns itself ideally with Marxist ideology, because probably one of the most succinct ways to describe communism, it's the revolt of quantity versus quality. And this is why we have to attribute the amazing growth of Marxism and the expansion of it around the planet in the last 100 years, because it is an ideology for the masses. It is an ideology that appeals to those that cannot excel, but they feel that they can become a part of a movement that is much larger than themselves and anything that they could ever accomplish on their own. Whereas the National Socialist worldview is we would prefer to groom and to develop fewer numbers of superior genetic and physical and mental and spiritual capably people. So there, that is, you know, really a main difference between the Marxist versus the nationalist worldviews, plain and simple. So again, that we would hear this type of nonsense being spewed from someone with the last name of Acosta sounds like a beaner to me. That doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, you say that there's so much doom and gloom here on so many of the headlines and stuff today, and that's absolutely true. But, you know, as grim as the picture is, and remember, my message for our people is always a message of hope. You know, there are a number of bright lights shining around the world, Europa, in the West. The resurgence of nationalism is evident for everyone to see. This is why the government is so worried. If the situation for the West and for whites was hopeless, their propaganda wouldn't be necessary. I pulled up and looking at a story right now coming out of Denmark that they are now offering migrants cash money to return home or be placed in a deportation facility. So this is coming out of Denmark. Who out of all of the Scandinavian nations right now, Denmark seems to be the most sane out of all of them. I would point out also Poland is flat out refusing to take in any immigrants or migrants out of the Middle East, and they have yet to suffer through even a single terrorist attack by a Muslim there. The reason being, they don't let them in. And they
right.
have members of their parliament that are saying, you know, how many have we had? Zero, while holding up the OK sign, you know, that racist OK sign. They've got footage of the guy going, how many have we had? Zero. I love
yeah.
my zero. Zero is good. So,
yeah.
I mean, zero is the number that we should all be striving for. We've got
yeah,
people like
absolutely.
Marine Le Pen out of France saying that immigration is an organized replacement of our population, and this threatens our very survival. This is Marine Le Pen coming out of France, you know, the Nationalist Party out of France. So, I mean, there are people that are aware of what's going on today. And, you know, for those, when the blacks start getting too big for their britches over here in America, eventually whites are going to get tired of them. And I want to throw out one of my favorite statistics, and it's very sobering. Unfortunately, not enough of black leadership has enough sense for the significance of this probably to really set in on them, or at least the ones that are doing anything as far as leadership positions. But I want everyone to think about this. And we are not condoning or promoting violence here on European American News. I want to make this very clear. The disclaimer is in place before I even go where I'm going. But there's 192 million whites in America today. If just 2 million of them stood up simultaneously and they did as good a day's work as the Christchurch shooter did in New Zealand a couple of years ago, just 2 million of them, there would not be a single black left alive, man, woman, or child on the North American continent, and we would only put in at risk 1% of our population. Think about that. 1% of the whites stood up and actually got serious about this. We would clear up the problem with the blacks virtually overnight. Furthermore, the system, the military, law enforcement could do absolutely nothing about this. You would be virtually guaranteed statistically that you would not be prosecuted for your crimes, because at that point it becomes an act of war. If 2 million people stand up at one time, there's no way the system, the military, and the law enforcement process and the judicial process could even begin to handle that type of a workload. They would have to just declare an amnesty in order to end the bloodshed. And we only put at risk 2% of our population. I hope that makes some politicians and a whole bunch of boons out there tonight very, very nervous. And the bad news is for the people pulling the strings in the tribe, we all knew who I'm referring to. If we want to talk about getting rid of them completely, then the situation for them is even worse, because there's only a few million of them compared to 50 million blacks. I don't think there's even 10, 15 million tribal members here in America. You know who I'm talking about. I hope you all sleep well tonight. Shalom.
Absolutely, brother. And I mean, you know, if we know this, trust me, they know this as well. And I'll just come right out and say it, the tribe, the Jews, they know this as well. And this is what scares them so much and keeps them up at night, is they know this. They know this fact to be true. Right, coming back full circle to what we were discussing in the first half of the show, that is why these communist gun grabs are so important for them right now. What happened at the Capitol, whether that was infiltrators of the Republican Party, actual Republicans going out and doing that, we saw what just a couple thousand people can do. I mean, they can basically halt everything and send senators and congressmen scrambling for their lives, and that was just a very, very small percentage of the people that are out there. So trust me, if we know this fact to be true, they definitely know it's true, and that's why it's so important for them to de-arm us right now before we have a chance to stand up for ourselves and defend ourselves, draw that line in the sand, and say no more. Because once we're de-armed, brothers and sisters, you can draw as many lines in the sand as you want to. It's not going to matter. They're going to come for you. They're going to win if we're unarmed. So, you know, full circle. We usually do on this show, everything comes full circle, and what Brian just said absolutely ties in with the beginning of the show tonight, the first hour that we covered. That is why it's so important for them to get our guns from us right now, because they are trying to avoid what Brian just said, and it keeps them awake at night. They do not sleep easy, brother. I'm fully convinced of that. You know, they sleep with one eye open and probably the other one only half closed when they sleep. Because, I mean, they know that this is reality, and the more they push on us, the more this bullcrap they try to shove down our throats, the more people they wake up. You know, I honestly believe that they've woken up more people here in just the last 6 months than you and I have probably in our entire 15 years of doing this type of work and getting the message out to our people. They are waking them up faster than we can, and we're just spitting out the exact truth. All they're doing is by their actions, they are waking up more and more white people every day to the fact that this is no longer our country. And if we continue down this path that we're going, there'll be no place for us here or in any of our homelands all across the world. And more people are saying enough is enough, and more people are willing to make that stand. So you're absolutely right, brother. I mean, just a few million of us, just basically a drop in our bucket here in this country, we could fully get rid of all the problems that face our nation and our folk. And it is very, very scary times for them. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So it's all or nothing for the globalists now. They understand the West is starting to awaken to the threat, which is why they're doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on their propaganda efforts and all. Because they understand it's now or never. If they don't get it done now, all of them, their spouses, their children, their brothers, their sisters, even their grandchildren, none of them are going to live, because nationalists aren't going to forgive and forget. That's why it's so important to be building these dossiers right now on these people, where they live, where they work, where their kids go to school. We want to know everything we can find out about these people. There will be no quarter, no forgive and forget. If we haven't learned anything else, we should have learned by now that you cannot deal and you cannot reason with communists. You either eradicate it or you'll be consumed by it, plain and simple.
Yeah, and I mean, we have been saying that for years, that there is no appeasing these people. There is no amount of bending over backwards we can do that will make these people love us. They, to our very core, they hate us. They want us gone. And no amount of pandering or backbending will ever change that. It's never going to change. The more you give them, the more they take. And they'll just continue to take and take and take until we have nothing left, absolutely nothing left. Our families, us, our friends, our neighbors, we'll all be gone. We'll all be gone because that is their end game. So now's the time. Now's the time. The line has to be drawn. We cannot allow them to cross this line again. And if they do, full steam ahead like a bulldozer. I mean, it has to be done. It has to be. Brian, You said that this administration is trying to get this done very quickly, and I think they know that they only have maybe 2 years to get this done. There's been two stories that have come out this week, and this is going to be the last thing we're going to cover tonight because we are at the two-hour mark, and if we get cut off, I apologize. I know last week we got cut off like right in the middle of the end song that I did for some reason. Blog Talk every once in a while, it'll let me go over the two-hour time limit, and then sometimes it'll just decide to cut me off at some point. So if that happens tonight, I do apologize, but I did want to cover these last two stories that is also causing fear among the communist side, and that is that there's at least two states right now. Michigan is in the process. The Michigan GOP is in the process of bypassing Governor Whitmer to change the state's voting laws. Now, we saw just recently a couple days ago, and this has been all over the news, that Georgia just changed their voting laws to instate the voter ID as a requirement in order to vote. So, Brian, I think if you look at those two stories, and we've said, you know, time and time again that we don't think we're going to be able to vote our way out of this regardless. You know, none of these politicians are really standing up for us. Even when the Republicans get in and get to power, like Trump, we see that he went out of his way to pander and to appease the black community during his 4 years in office to prove that he was not a racist. But we see that several of these states, and these two especially, one working on changing their voting laws and the other actually did change their voting laws, that they're at least trying to make it harder for the communists, for the Democrat Party to cheat their way to victory here in 2 years when more congressional seats are going to be up for grabs. So, again, they have to push all this through, and they have to push it through right now because these states are starting to wise up. You know, state ID, voter ID, as long as I've been voting here in Kentucky, that's been the rule. I can't vote if I don't have my driver's license in order to prove who I am. I can't go over to another county and vote. I have a specific place that I'm to go. My name is on the list. I show my driver's license. They give me my ballot. I can't run over to Boone County or Kenton County and just show up at one of their polling booths and vote there, because they don't have me on record in that county to vote. I have to go to my specific place. I have to be able to prove who I am in order to vote. That's the only way that this works. When you allow people to just show up anywhere and vote, you have the cheating that goes on. And we saw a lot of that go on in this past election. And the mail-in voting was how they were able to get a lot of this done. So, Brian, like we've said many times, we don't think we're going to be able to vote our way out of this. But your thoughts before we end tonight's show on these couple states saying, hold on, we have to do something about the way the voting is done in this state to ensure the integrity of our elections.
Smoke and mirrors, too little, too late. If Georgia and Michigan both adopted these laws and then getting them enforced at polling time is the real trick there. Again, you know, the communist saying it's not the vote that counts, it's who counts the votes is what
right.
matters. So getting it enforced, it's still smoke and mirrors at this point. That's a feel-good story that's out there tonight. But with one executive order, which is coming, and it will come within the first 2 years of the Biden administration, you can mark my words on this, they're going to declare a mass amnesty, and they're going to do it in time to get all these people legalized, normalized, and registered to vote for 2024. So that's what I'm saying. It's going to come within the first 2 years. That's automatically going to dump 10 to 15 million non-whites into the voting pool, which guarantees a solid Democratic majority. From here out, the GOP is virtually at this point is rendered completely ineffective. As if we have friends over there anyway. We may have a few here and there, But the ranks of the Republican Party, by and large, they're filled with globalists as well. Remember that. Even if they don't call themselves Democrats, their voting records betray them.
Yeah, and we see the crisis on the border. Going back to what you just said about the amnesty bill, they're not just holding these people in states like California, Arizona, and Texas. They are moving them out throughout the country so that they can change the voting demographics in states that are close, what you would call a, you know, a borderline state, one that could go either way come election time. Sure. We see that they are pushing these people into these states where the vote is normally close to make sure that now the vote is not close, that there is no chance that a Republican can win in these states. So you're absolutely right, Brian. Smoke and mirrors. While it may feel good to talk about it, while you may have Biden calling this Jim Crow era type tactics in Georgia, again, at the end of the day, it will prove to be, just like Brian said, smoke and mirrors. I mean, you can feel good about it for a little while, and you can think that the Republicans have accomplished something, but at the end of the day, that amnesty bill gets passed or the executive order comes down that grants all these people amnesty, the way they're moving them around throughout the country into these battleground states, it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference because, like Brian said, all of them will be legalized. All of them will be given ID. All of them will be registered to vote. They'll be allowed to vote, and there's nothing we'd be able to do to stop them. So
mass amnesty is declared. That should be the absolute line in the sand, and if they do it, again, I'm not promoting violence or illegal activity. I am quoting Ann Coulter, who said at that point, that's when the right wing in America sends out the death squads for the people who wrecked America.
Yeah. Well, and until that happens, they're just going to continue to do this stuff to us. I mean, we have to draw that line in the sand, and we cannot let them cross it. Again, I don't know how else to say it or to put any more importance or, you know, it's time to do it than right now. If we allow them to do it, it's over, you know, without having to go full-blown war, which that I think would probably do, like Ann Coulter said, that probably would be the final straw in this country from the white nationalist side. We're not going to be, if we allow them to do it, you know, it will be war. At that point, there is no going back. There is no peaceful solution to this, getting rid of the communists. And I don't think there's any peaceful solution available right now. I don't. These people aren't going to go quietly. They're not going to go without a fight. And that's what it is eventually going to come to. So like Brian said, like I've said many times on the show, we're not promoting illegal activities. Don't go out and shoot a Hispanic tonight and say Gunner and Brian said it was okay on European American News. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But as a people in this country, that line has to be drawn, and we have to make it known that if they cross this line, there are going to be consequences for them. And it has to be. It has to be that way. Because as you've seen, all the stories we've covered tonight, they take. And that's what they're going to do. They're just going to continue to take until we have nothing left. So, again, line in the sand time, brothers and sisters. It is that time. So, Brian, that pretty much does bring us to the end of tonight's show. Do you have anything in closing that you want to comment on?
I do not. I just want to say thank you again to our listeners from around the world tonight for supporting European American News and Resolution, RDO. You're the reason we do this. I love our people. Thank you once again, Gunner, for having me on once again on European American News tonight. Always an honor, always a pleasure.
Well, yes, sir. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Your insight on these stories and stuff going on, not just in our country, but around the world, always appreciated by me and the listeners. And like we've said, folks, listenership on this program, not just my program, but the other programs on Resolution RDO, I mean, it's blown up within the last 2 or 3 months here. We are getting 3 to 4 times as many listens per week as we normally get. European American News, thank you for tuning in because, I mean, you put me right at the top of this network. I mean, this is one of the most listened to shows on the network. but all of the other shows getting listens as well. And like I said, it's tripled or quadrupled here in just the last few months as our brothers and sisters and our people are turning away from the lies of the mainstream media, and they are seeking out news outlets like Resolution Radio for the very reason that, you know, we're not going to lie to you. We are going to give it to you straight. We're going to tell you who is the cause of our people suffering. We're not going to hold any punches. We're not going to hold anything back. So, again, thank you, Brian, for coming on. Hopefully, if not too busy, you'll be able to join us next week. If not, again, we understand. But, again, thank you, brother, for coming on the show. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Hail victory.
Hail victory. All right, brothers and sisters, that does bring us to the end of tonight's show. Again, thank you for tuning in. By all means, if you have the means to donate even just a little bit to the network, checks, money orders, welcome sealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. You can contact me at GovernorTroy@Outlook.com or e.a.news@Outlook.com. You can also follow European News on Telegram at t.me/European American News. So I list most of the stories that we're going to talk about throughout the week or on the show throughout the week on that page. And I also promote this show and the other shows as well on that page. Resolution Radio also has a Telegram page, so make sure you're checking out that one as well. Just search for Resolution Radio. That should get you to that page on Telegram. Make sure you're checking out all the other shows now hosted 7 nights a week. Yes, a full week of food and knowledge for our brothers and sisters. On Monday nights, you have American Dissident Voices. On Tuesday nights, Solar Storm. On Wednesdays, the newest show on Resolution Radio, and that is Truth Hurts. On Thursdays, the flagship program, the Sonny Thomas Show. Fridays, Political Cesspool. Saturdays, Nordic Frontier. And, of course, European American News on Sunday. So, again, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Hope to see you or hope to be back with you next week. We'll be on as long as we are able to bring you the show here on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. on ResolutionRadio.com. Again, you've been listening to European American News. Tonight's show, Mass Shootings Equal Communist Gun Grabs. I've been your host, Gunnar Troy. Good night, everyone.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
I am really worried about our retirement funds.
Me too. We've already lost so much value in the recession and the ups and downs of the stock market. I'm afraid we're not going to have enough for retirement.
I talked to Jim next door, and he told me they just set up a new kind of IRA with a gold-silver group. He said it's simple and safe.
It's a private storage IRA, and we can have real gold and silver in our hands.
You mean we can actually see it and touch it?
Yes. Jim says we could have all the benefits of an IRA to help build our retirement. And bottom line, we would own a real tangible asset. What do you think?
I think we need to find out how to get our own private storage IRA. Let's call Gold Silver Group now.
Worried about your future? Call 800-474-9427 now to find out how easy and safe it is to set up a private storage IRA with Gold Silver Group. All our transactions are privately delivered, fully insured, and quality guaranteed. You could qualify for up to $700 in free silver. Call Gold Silver Group now. 800-474-9427.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.